We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
How about them fucking dogs? That's what I told them.
Hope it doesn't take that long again. Go dogs.
It's Lovelace. It's Foster. It's the 100 Stanford Podcast. Dog Nation, what's going on? Foster, what's going on, baby?
Hey, I never get tired of saying this, man. I'm good. I woke up. I'm alive. And guess what happened Saturday, man? Tell me what happened.
I'm gonna tell you them dogs won again. I think, didn't they?
Again, like they can't keep doing this.
Was it sweeter in person? I know you took pops. Was it sweeter in person?
Oh man, it was wonderful, man. I took pops to the SEC championship. Like I said last week, last time I took it to the SEC championship, we played LSU, and we got mud stomped. Well, this time, we return the favor.
Return that favor, man. No, and you know what? Real quick, man.
I can't be happier.
You took pops, but did you get them, like, did you get them a soda? Did you get them a pretzel? You know, because, you know, when you take your pops, now man, it's reverse. You got to hook him up.
I hooked pops up, man. I got up. I said, "Pops, you want something?" He said, "You just bring me, you know, say some fries or something, or a Sprite." Man, I went and got pops. I got pops a whole barbecue meal, man.
That's what's up.
I got the pulled chicken sandwich with the fries and the souvenir cup drink.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't even go cheap on pops. Man, I got in the souvenir cup. You dig?
That's what's up. And you should charge it to Josh Brooks. Because the last time you were down there, it didn't go so well. I'm sure Pops wasn't happy. You definitely weren't happy. But
it was wonderful, man. All the dogs were there. Saw a lot of people that I hadn't seen in a while, man. The tailgates was going on, man. I'm a fellow dogs at the tailgates. And so it was wonderful, man. I enjoyed myself.
That's what's
up. You know, we knew what was up. Undefeated was still on the line. You know, number one ranking still on the line. So we get to choose where we want to play that playoff game at. And them guys, you know, they came through.
Yeah, man, they definitely put in work. 50 points. I mean, that's something I didn't expect. I mean, none of us picked, you know, they were going to have that type of offensive explosion. You know, you got to take away the 7 points for the block kick that Chris Smith took back. Okay, so we'll take that back. We'll give it 43, but still.
I didn't even peek in the 40s. I thought we would, honestly, I thought we would, you know, put them away kind of early and then, you know, put the brakes on a little bit, you know, run out the clock. But, they, you know, they got some things going on offense, you know, in their passing game that kept us, you know, kept our big boys on the field. And we just had the good thing about it is we responded every time. So, you know, every time they did their thing, we responded. And, you know, I can't be mad at them for that. We still won, but we still covered. You know, I don't do the Vegas betting thing as I am in Georgia. I'm a more of a straight up guy, but, you know, I think the cover, what was the, it was like 17 or something.
17 like and a half. Yeah, it was 17 and a half.
We covered. Even they scored 30 and we still covered. So, good night for the dogs.
Yeah, man. I thought it was interesting. I didn't think that they would cover. I just thought that again, Kirby would shut it down after the offense doing what it was doing. I think I picked the score to be somewhere around 31-17. But it was interesting how he continued to keep his foot on the gas most of the game. And I think it really came down to what he saw LSU doing. You know, you had Daniels that went out with the injury, obviously. Then you had Nussmeier come in, and he just went bananas. That boy's got – he got a gun. I don't even know how he's on the bench, because what he's able to do physically kind of remind you of Joe Burrow, what he was doing back in 19. But – But yeah, I thought that Kirby allowed the offense to continue to flow. I liked his answer when he said, you know, he was going to go for two, but me really thinking, I think Kirby was like, okay, I gotta lay a little something down on Kelly, let him know who we are by hitting the 50 point mark.
No but, question. Like, he can't fool me. He look good on that scoreboard, man.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? He gonna say the right things, but you know, I already knew what was up. 50, you know what I'm saying? We didn't necessarily need any style points or whatever, but you know, it looks good. The 50 ball looks good. And you know, you putting something else on film that, you know, the next team you playing gotta worry about.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? So I enjoyed it. I liked putting, you know, keeping the foot on the gas.
Well, with that, okay, I gotta ask this question. You prepare all week for one guy. And I'm saying this from a standpoint of, like, Dog Nation was talking about it. Obviously, we're excited about the victory. But you got Daniels that went out. You thought that they would just completely put him away. But Nussmeier comes in there and throws for dang near almost 300 yards himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was spreading that ball all around. How tough of an adjustment is it for a defense to make? And I know you played on the offensive side of the ball. But how tough of an adjustment is it for a defense to switch up and all of a sudden you got a different style quarterback, a different style player with different skill sets, because obviously he's got a gun. How difficult is it for guys to switch up all of a sudden in the middle of string?
Well, you know, you got a guy it's different when you have two different types of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you got a guy like Daniels who can get out of there with his legs. You know, I'm not familiar with Nussmeier's athleticism, you know, but, you know, his thing is obviously his arm. It's going to take some getting used to. You know, we got experience with that, you know, in the past, and it didn't work out too well with, you know, going from Tua to Hurts and Hurts to Tua.
Facts.
And, you know, and it kind of took us, you know, kind of caught us off guard a couple times, you know. And so, you know, it can, I think we've learned from that, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. You just got to stay ready and you got to have your fundamentals. Your fundamentals always got to be intact. You know, your fundamentals will help you versus no matter who you got to play against. You know what I mean? So, I trust that team to always rely on their fundamentals because it's something that they teach all the time. Tackling, that's the game. Blocking, tackling, you know, following your assignments, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, and I asked that question too because I looked at it as a blessing in disguise, quite honestly. You're getting ready to play in 4 weeks. You got Ohio State. You got Stroud. He's got a gun. He's got an arm. He throws the ball with accuracy. They got a boatload of receivers outside of Jackson, who's not going to be playing. He's opted out to work on rehab, getting ready for the NFL draft. But I think it was a way of actually opening the eyes on this defense that you're going to play a guy that doesn't escape the pocket as well. Stroud can move around, but he's more like Nussmeier. I mean, he'll sit in the pocket. He'll pick you apart. And if you don't get pressure on him, he'll pick you apart just like Nussmeier was. And I think as the game went a little bit further on, more towards the middle to the end of the fourth quarter, I mean, obviously all of our starters weren't even on the field. Jalen Carter was out there smiling, laughing. You know, everybody's having a good time because the game was basically put away. But at the same time, I'm like you. I think it's a learning tool. I think these guys could take it back. And I know Kirby's going to use it. He's going to use it as motivation to say, you guys allowed them to go for over 500 yards of offense on us. What are you going to do with Ohio State when they come in? Because they got arguably a better running game, arguably a better quarterback, arguably the better wide receiving core than what LSU would have. I looked at it as a blessing in disguise, and Kirby always likes to use anything he can use as motivation, especially when they talk about those explosive plays. I mean, they had 6 explosive plays. 59 yards, 53 yards, 47, 27, 23, 20. You know, Kirby's talked about that before. Anything over 20 is an explosive play. That's a lot of plays to give up that this defense doesn't historically give up. So I think it's a way that, you know, they'll be able to go back to the drawing board, shut that kind of stuff down, and be ready for play when it comes down to Ohio State.
I think it just goes to show you the amount of ways that, you know, Georgia can win. You had all those plays. You had 500 yards of passing offense. I don't know how much, probably not much rushing, but, you know, a lot of yards, a mm-hmm. lot of explosive plays, only 20 points. Like,
right.
Like, like this has to be demoralizing. you coach Kelly. I know he's a seasoned coach. He probably doesn't, you know, live on the stat sheet that much, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure somebody over there is looking at the stat sheet like, what happened? Like, how do we have all this production and no points? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just Georgia. They, you know, sometimes they choke you out, sometimes they bend and they don't break, you know, and they can just win a plethora of ways, whether it's offense, defense, however you want it, they can give it to you. And it's just basically them versus everyone, versus themselves, you know, right now. So it is what it is.
Yeah, and make no mistake, it could have been worse. You had those two drives where Georgia got a little bit stagnant. I think Kirby slowed it down a little bit, and then LSU comes out. They get a couple quick shots. And what it really came down to was the field position. Not only that, being able to control the clock. I think we controlled the clock for about 36 minutes. I think LSU 24 minutes. So it was those quick plays, but take away those fumbles, take away the two dead drives in the second half. I mean, come on. I mean, that's ridiculous. Then, you know, when you play in that field position, Georgia punted the ball one time. They're actually, I think, fourth in the country out of all the stats out there, fourth in the country in terms of amount of times that they punted the ball, the least amount of times. That's insane. And when you can play that type of field position and you can control the game from that angle, it's going to be tough for anybody to beat you if it's going to become that type of game, and you can kind of dictate what you want to do on offense and then allow what you want to do to kind of dictate things on defense too. It's going to be difficult for anybody.
Yes, sir. They're a tough ball club. It's just really, man, it's just, I'm glad to be a fan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm glad to be a fan. Like it's a sweet spot to be in. Mm-hmm. And because like unless something drastically happens, mm-hmm. like they are the head honcho. They are the toast of the town. They are the king. You know, they sit on the hill and they sit up there a good bit higher than everyone else. Too. And so, like, you go into these games, you're watching these games, you're going into these games, and as a fan, you're not, you know, nervous at all. I know I'm not.
No, you not know, at all.
I'm not nervous when they got everything you need out there. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? We've had a few injuries here and there, but for the most part, what we're going to show up to the stadium with can beat anybody in the country and handily.
Facts. And speaking of injuries, I mean, we had some guys come back. You had A.D. Mitchell. We mm-hmm. saw a sighting of him. He gets another 4 weeks. So in 4 weeks, when we play Ohio State, he'll be back. Obviously, McClendon and Ladd went down. I think Kirby talked about a mild MCL sprain with McClendon, some tendonitis with Ladd. And, you know, given 4 weeks, I think these guys will be back. They'll be healthy. You know, they'll make sure these guys are going to class, getting rehab, watching film, doing all the necessary things that they got to do to kind of prepare for this next game. Speaking of which, you got the next game. It is the Peach Bowl. It'll be on December 31st, 8 p.m. versus Ohio State. Right now, Georgia opening up at 6.5-point favorite. The second game or the game prior to that game is the Fiesta Bowl. You got TCU versus Michigan, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Michigan opening up as an 8.5-point favorite. What were your thoughts on that Final Four? I mean, I know when TCU lost, I was like, man, they going to really try to push Bama in there. They're going to really try to push him in there. And then I thought about it. I said, okay, they only lost by 3 points. They played, you know, admirable. They should have probably beaten Kansas State, even though they've had problems with Kansas State throughout the year. But I was really surprised that that TCU ended up the 3 seed and not Ohio State ending up the 3 seed. What was your thoughts on that?
It probably ended up how it should have ended. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. TCU only lost one game, close game, conference championship. Who knows what state they were in mentally or whatever. It's just, it's, you know, I'm pretty sure they wanted to win that game, but in the back of their minds, they probably had a little cushion. You know what I mean?
That's a lot of cushion with Alabama sitting there behind you, though, and their national reputation. That's crazy. They
can't, you cannot. Like, if Bama had one loss, mm-hmm. It's curtains.
Yeah, it's a wrap. It's
you
know a wrap
I mean? There. You can't justify two losses, though. Mm-hmm. You can't justify it all. And so, you know, Bama wasn't going to skate in there, you know, over a one-loss team. That would have been absurd. But it ended how it was supposed to be. I thought we were going to end up playing USC, but they pooped the bed versus Utah. Utah put their smack down on them.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? I watched that one. That was a good old beating. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to play Ohio State, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, it was the last time they played. What, was the Garrison them, maybe? And they, you know, I think they beat Ohio State.
Yeah,
It's going to be interesting to play them, you know. Ohio State is one of those teams. It's kind of like when I was in school and the team of the 90s or whatever, or one of the team of the 90s was Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so when we played them in the Sugar Bowl, you know, I was amped to play them because it's like, man, you get to beat a big name, Florida State. You know, mm-hmm. we went out there and we put that thing on them boys. I feel like that about this game, being that it's Ohio State. And, you know, we get to test our mettle versus a team that's supposed to be all this and that. Supposedly, you know, they are an explosive team, very mm-hmm. offensive team, a lot of prospects, you know, first rounders on offense, you know, the, you know, left tackles, you know, probably first round talent, quarterback, first round talent, you know, a couple receivers. I know one's not playing. You know, first round talent. You know what I mean? You know, Marvin, you know, Harrison Jr., you know, name speaks for itself. I'm excited about that. You know what I mean? Because you can't say nothing. Once we put the thing on them, you can't say nothing. You know, well, what I mean? Because everyone's thinking this game is, you know, is going to be close, is their formidable opponent. I can't get out of my head that drubbing they got from Michigan. I cannot.
At home.
I can't.
In the horseshoe.
I can't let that ride. Like, yeah. There was no reason for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was pretty bad. And Michigan limped into the game.
Facts.
They had their own Heisman candidate, you know, mm-hmm. have to sit that game out. And yeah, the backup went crazy. You know what I mean? And a quarterback that ain't really not that great, he went mm-hmm. crazy too. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, Georgia has a, you know, right now, you know, we toned it down a little bit toward the end of the season, you know, but for the majority of the season, we're a top, you know, 3 offense. You know what I mean? So right now we're probably top 7 or 8 offense in the country. Just looking at that Ohio State defense, they don't quite have it over there on the defensive side of the ball. And I think we can explore them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to me it was interesting because, again, they were playing at home, right? And then I remember listening to the pivot had our guy Stroud on there, and he was talking about how he wanted to come back. You know, he wanted to beat Michigan. That was a big deal of his because, you know, that's prideful. When it comes down to that rivalry, you walk out of there, it's like, you know, you got to beat Michigan. They lose to Michigan. They don't play as well. and they limp into the, you know, into the college football playoffs. So I know they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. And it's pretty interesting to me, too, because over the last few years, you know, people have always talked about Ohio State doing its thing. Now, back in the day, I can respect it. And I'm going to say it from this angle. Ohio State was tough in the trenches. You always talk about the trenches. Heck, they gave that great Miami team back in 02, 03 fits because they were able to handle the trenches. You know, we might have a guest coming on relatively soon here who could testify and talk about that. But since then, they have not been that team that builds through the trenches. They've become more of a finesse team. And I think when it comes down to it, that's the reason why Michigan was able to lay the wood to them. I mean, when it comes down to it, like you said, they had a backup running back. They had a quarterback who's not the same level as across the field as the guy at Ohio State in terms of Stroud. And they just put the wood to them. And I know we got 4 weeks. You know, again, we're going to dig into Ohio State further and further as we get closer and closer. But unless they can shore that up, unless they can get stronger and tougher in the trenches, they're going to have some problems with Georgia, because Georgia, that's where we make our bones at, in the trenches.
It's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's whatever brand of ball you decide to play, you're gonna have to stick with it. And you know, like if you play that finesse game, you're gonna have to finesse the hell out of people. You're gonna have to be really, really great at the finesse game. You know, various teams, you know, are really great at it. The last time Ohio State, you know, was a bully, you know, they had guys like, you know, Martin, you know, like, what's my man, Zeke Elliott, you know, coming down.
Yeah, man.
You know, what's my man for the Ravens? Dobbins, you know.
Yes.
You know, when you have that type of identity, you know, you can stand up against any type of team. You know what I mean? That's the deal. That's what Georgia has going for them. You know, yeah, we can get it in the air if we need to, but you're gonna have to come see us up front. You know what I mean? And we throwing them backs in there, like, you know, like what you want to do.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
You know, guys like Milton, you know, finally getting where
he's big game for Milton, right?
Yeah, 13 yards. You know, and
back-to-back games, too,
right?
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? He's stepping it
you
up.
Know, he's staying up. You know what I mean? That's what I want for big guys. Big guys, you gotta stay up. You know what I mean? And you know, and he's doing that, you know, and I'm happy to see that for him, because you know, I had some criticism, and I'm pretty sure, you know, if he's the type of guy that he needs to be, he probably would understand that criticism. He probably would agree. You know what I mean? But you know, but you know, he's back in the saddle now. You know, he's running hard, you know, dragging people, showing the speed, you know, and that's the type of game that Georgia wants to play. And you know, and it is working out. 13-0. You know what I mean? So I'm happy.
Yeah, man, I'm definitely happy about that. I thought Kendall played extremely well. He did his thing as a running back, and he's really picked up things over the last couple of weeks. But, you know how we do with the 100 Sanford podcast, Foss. You know, we bring on some of the most recognizable names.
No question.
Usually somebody from an opposing team we like to bring in. And I know we got a few weeks before we get to Ohio State, but I got to go to a legend, man. I mean, I don't think he realizes how much of a legend he truly is. Oh, folks, yeah. We are joined by none other than Maurice Claret, who is a legend. Maurice, welcome to the 100 Sanford podcast. I'm going to give you some flowers a little bit later. I'm going to really decorate
you. There we go.
The Youngstown legend.
Yes, he is. Yes, go. He is.
Everybody know Mo. Everybody, my guy. What's up? Everybody know Mo Claret. You know what I mean? I'm just glad we could get. You know, this guy. Anytime this guy pick up a microphone, he get paid for it. You know what I mean? So I'm just glad he ain't try to hit 100 Sanford in the pockets, because I ain't got it. I got teenage girls.
Hey, listen to me. So forever of my – so you remember – and you see, you don't remember the small stuff, right? Remember when you left Omaha and you brought me over to your apartment and you gave me all your groceries that you had before you left?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you don't remember it, but I remember it. And you were getting ready to leave town. I came over to your crib and you blessed me with your groceries. So I'm a forever troll and talking and everything, but it's a brotherly love. Hold on. But you also don't remember who was my first roommate. DJ was my first roommate when I got out of prison and came to Omaha.
Wow.
Shock was so I'm connected to the Georgia boys.
Connected to the boys. And a few years ago you came down there. Yeah, who did Georgia?
So that was the team
UMass. Was it UMass?
No, it was a team. It was a team out of Tennessee, and the coach named Will, and I knew they were
Austin P. Austin P.
Austin P. Austin P. That's what it was. And the head coach was down there, so I came down to visit, and it was good seeing you and there. Mel Tucker was our coordinator at the time, so I knew Mel from Ohio State. So
I didn't know Mel was at Ohio State.
Yeah, he was, man. Yeah, he was part of that 2002 national championship team.
That's right.
Look at him. See, look at the smile. I wish we could have this on video. I ain't never seen him smile so much, giving him all this love and the national championship stuff, man. But no, Maurice, man, thank you for really joining the show. And it's funny because I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they say, well, who are you guys going to have on? And we never tell a person who we're going to have. But I said, man, look, we're going to have Maurice Claret on. And he was like, Maurice Claret? He's like, man, you know, Maurice was live. And I'm like, look, I don't think you really realize how live Maurice really was. I mean, I grew up in Pittsburgh, so I remember talking about, you know, man, you got to go see this kid, LeBron James. You got to see, and everybody was like, LeBron James? No, you got to go see Maurice Claret play. You know, it was like you were that dude. So I want to give you your flowers, your early flowers. And, you know, again, we're going to continue with the praise of everything you've done, but I got to hit you up right now because Dog Nation is upset about this, Reese. You tweeted the other day, Georgia going to get rolled on. Bruh, you created a firestorm, and you are going to have to defend yourself right here.
I couldn't let that go. No,
nah, you can't let that go.
You my dog, but come on, man. We the undefeated bullies right now, man.
Yeah, explain yourself.
Yeah, no. So I troll a lot. Anytime you see me on the line, I troll, I joke, and I enjoy it. But if you ever see me have a real commentary, so I'll address the trolling. So I troll just for activity because there's people who have fun trolling, right? And I'm just one of those people that from sunup to sundown, I'm going to troll on the internet, right? But on a serious note, I told these guys before, you know, I go around and I speak to a lot of teams in the SEC. I speak to teams in the Big Ten. And everywhere I go, you know, the elephant in the room is that Ohio State never plays anybody, right? And coming to the southern part of America, you can start to see how football culture in the South is a little bit different. You know, guys take it a little bit more serious. Guys, this is all they have. There's a different pride and a focus, and there's a different nastiness that guys play with down there, right? And so I said early in the year when I seen Georgia play, I said, man, I don't see anybody beating Georgia. And the reason I seen it, I go a lot for what I see on somebody's defense, right? When I see guys swarming the ball, when I see guys getting excited about playing, when I see guys executing basically at a high level, you have these things that jump off the screen, right? And when I see the guys at Ohio State, you know, I'm a fan. I went to the school. I still am who I am. I say, yo, like, you know, we can beat the Toledos. We can beat the San Jose States, right? But when you get deeper into the season, if you don't have a level of nastiness, a level of aggression, teams who are just as talented as you will bring something different to the table that you can't compete against, right? And it's the hunger factor. It's the grimy factor. And Georgia has it. You know what I'm saying? So the comments were filled from that. So what I'm hoping on, just to be honest with you, I'm hoping that the whooping that Michigan put on us kind of hits the reset button, right? And you aren't as cool as you thought, right? So we're not going to act like Ohio State doesn't have talented guys, right? But, you can be talented, but you can also be complacent, right? Where you feel like, man, we're just going to go walk out and beat everybody. And for the most part, when you schedule these, I don't want to say nonsense games because I don't want to talk bad about other people. But when you schedule games that don't require you to go to the 10th round to fight somebody, the 11th round, when you don't go deep into your arsenal and find out what you have, it becomes hard when teams in SEC have been doing that all season and then they run up against you. They say, man, we've seen you 1,000 times over. This is your first or second time seeing us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so that's what historically has happened with Ohio State. And I get that you say, hey, man, it's a business and you want to schedule the right team so you're positioned at the end of the year to get to the championship or to get into the playoffs. But those things come up. And so, like I said, to address my comments, man, I'm a troll, but I'm a football fan first, and I don't care about being honest, right? And this is what I'm hoping. This is what I'm really hoping on January 1st that happens, or December 31st. I'm hoping that there's some players on Georgia who is bought into Ohio State isn't that good, right? And I'll tell you where it happened. It happened with Miami when they played us, when we went to go play them in the national championship, right? Mm-hmm, and right. When we got on the field, you can tell that they didn't take us serious, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, Foss, when you get on that field, man, you have to be locked and loaded. It's hard to take yourself from a place of, like, I don't really feel like doing this to I'm about to dominate you when somebody across from you is of a different mentality. And so I'm hoping that it's some guys on Georgia's team who just say, man, Ohio State isn't that good. You catch those guys. And I'm hoping that Ryan Day understands that he has something to prove, because I'm telling you, it will be ugly if Ryan Day gets smashed by Michigan, then he turns around and gets smashed by Georgia. That will be ugly. So I'm hoping that they fit up at practice. I'm hoping that they tackle him. I'm hoping that that happens. That's what I'm hoping, right? So that's my honest opinion about the matchup.
That's definitely what they have to do. And what I'm banking on is just knowing the type of coach Kirby is. He isn't letting those guys get complacent. You know what I mean? I'm kind of glad that, you know, LSU put up 30 and 500. They got beat by 20, but they put up 30, and they had over 500 yards passing. They just didn't equate to the points, you know, because Georgia will bend, but they won't break too often. You know, I'm hoping that Kirby is using that to point at the guys like, hey, you're really not that good as you think you are. You know what I mean? Look what you just gave up. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping we come
back. That's a lot of points.
And keep that mentality. Yeah, 30 points is a lot. Georgia been giving up 9 points something game. 10, you know, 10 points a game. You know what I mean? But
this is what hinders us, though. That Georgia has to know that C.J. Stroud doesn't like to take off and run. That's I cringe at. So there's no threat that this guy's going to go somewhere, which means you fall in coverage, right? And then you have linebackers down there who are a little bit more fast and a little bit more aggressive, so you don't have to drop somebody. And so these are the things that I'm hoping C.J. Stroud sells out and say, you know what, man, win, lose, or draw, I'm taking off. Win, lose, or draw, I'm being aggressive. Win, lose, or draw, you know, that's what's going to happen. So, you know, I don't know. I'm hopeful and I'm wishful in the thinking, but a lot of this comes down to the mentality of all these kids. You know, these kids have to play the game. We're both fans and all this other stuff, but, they got to play the game and – I'm going to tell you like this, man, when you know how it is, when you step up under that light, it's different. In a big time moment where everything matters and it's a finite space that if you lose, you go home, right? And if you win, you keep on playing. There's people who can't perform under that, or there's people who takes those moments to say, this is my time to shine or whatever it is. So I don't know. I'm as interested as everybody, but this whole town, I'm telling you like this, my family's out there taking Christmas pictures. I'm in the back of the hallway, right? So, but this whole town, this whole town is on Ryan Day's neck. There's a thumb on him. Bro, you can't get embarrassed by Michigan two times in a row, and then you can't have the Jolly Green Giants staring at you on December 31st, and these guys can't roll on us. So, I don't know. That's my opinion
What's the difference is Day part of the Urban, you know, tree?
Yeah, he was on Urban staff, and then he transcended to where he's at now. But what you lost?
What's the difference? What's the difference? You know, those years when you had like Zeke, you had, you know, Dobbins, they can get downhill. They can get downhill and get busy. You know what I mean? But to me, it seems like, you know, it's from the same tree staff wise. What's been different? Have they been different in recruiting up front?
Yeah, it's the linemen or too like cute. It's too cute. Like everything is cute now. So we've become a brand where we went from Boost Mobile to Sprint, You know what I'm saying? We went from the grungy, you know, get some nasty dudes in here. Go get your Chase Youngs, your Joey Bosas. Go get your guys who – go get your Denzel Wards. Go get your – go get all those guys that who are aggressive and who are a little bit more – they got a little bit more moxie and swag. And they've gotten the guys who are five-star guys who – they just a little cuter, you know, and I don't say that in like a disrespectful way.
It's just part of the game.
You don't talk about
Bama did the same thing. It's part of that. You know, they spread it all out. You know.
But you have a different. No, you get a different guy. No, you get a different guy out of that. Like, man, I want some dude who is grungy, who nasty. I'm gonna have to tell this dude to go to class a little bit. You know, he's gonna be a little funky when he walk in the facility. You know, I'm gonna have to tell him to tone it down in shorts. You know, like dudes like that. Like you remember Flip, right? I want dudes who just they nasty. You know what I'm saying? They gonna run up on you. They gonna tap you a little bit. You know, they gonna be a little aggressive. That's not Ohio State football right now. And we don't have that. You know, anywhere on the team. We had the guy number 44, the Samoan kid. He's a little bit more aggressive. But some of the stuff, bro, you have to be humble. Getting smashed by Michigan at home humbles you, right? And so what does that do? That allows a coach to address a player different, right? Well, you're just beating everybody, and the coach says something to you. You're like, man, coach, we didn't beat these people by 30 points. Mm-hmm. You can't really address nobody after something like that. You only can address people when something goes wrong, and now it's the space and time to say, hey, man, let's go ahead and get back to practice of fitting up, and let's get out of this space where everything's cute and we're trying to you get where I'm coming from. I don't know. I don't want to belabor a point, but you get it.
Well, Reese, when did that mindset change? We were just talking about that before you came on, and I was talking about, you know, how in the trenches, that's where the game is won. And you go back to that 2002 championship game when you guys played Miami. I remember it distinctively. Miami was shell-shocked. You guys came in with a physical style of ball, and all of a sudden it was like, dang, somebody who's just as tough as us and bringing their best shot, and you guys knocked them out. So when does that change for Ohio State? Because literally, I haven't seen that style of play since you were there. So I'm talking 2002, the championship.
I mean, Georgia might have it, right? Just so pay attention. When you have to – so watch what Harbaugh is doing. Harbaugh had to take Michigan guys who were three stars, and he made them feel like they were 10-star players, right? You had to coach them up. You had to put them in the right schemes. You had to get somebody who was on them. And these guys typically who don't go to Ohio States and Georgias and Alabamas, they feel like I should have went there for whatever reason, right? We all know people fall where they fall. And so what ends up happening when you end up being a premier program or you're marketing yourself as a premier program, you get the pick of the litter. And you think that you're picking guys who are already prepared, who are five-star guys, who come and run real well, who come out of great programs, who are great kids. And those kids are a bit different than a kid who's – three-star, probably went to an inner-city school, really didn't have a weight room, had to be coached up. You get him on campus, you clean him up, you know, family background a little bit rough. Those dudes are different. And so Ohio State now has good kids, right? And I'm not saying anything bad about good kids, but there's a different football there's a different football from a kid who's trained very well inside of training facilities and a kid who just loves the game and he's playing. Ohio State has a bunch of kids. This is just my opinion. This is not fact. This is just my opinion from me seeing it. And, you know, if you just grew up a little bit rougher, you understand who grows up rough are kids who just are a little bit tougher, and you just don't see that. Like, man, let me tell you this, right? When you start to see linemen with single digits on, bro, get out of here, man. I want the linemen with, like, number
99. Like, you a dog. We put a 99 number on, 97, 99. You know, get old nasty number, like, that's 67. It's different.
This is what I'm talking about.
It's very different. We played in sticker bras, and you know what I mean? Like, when we played at home in the hood, like, you get tackled – you might get a rock stuck in your leg. You know what I mean? It's just a different breed of kid now, and you have to have the right leader to lead them. That's why Bama was so good all these years. You know what I mean? Nick, you know, you hear stories about Bama, you know, from the kids to the staff. Like, it's hard. It's hard to play there, and they still go. Because the kids that go there, they know what they're getting into. I saw an interview with Kirby the other day. Kirby was like, we tell these kids before they even get into the program that what we expect you. We're going to hit a lot. We're going to hit Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to put on pads. You know, it's going to be rough and it's going to be tough. But at the end of the day, you're going to be prepared. And they know that before they sign their letter of intent. And, you know, that, and you see what it's gotten. You know what I mean? I don't care.
But look on the field.
They lost the game.
Listen to me, look on the field. Like, So I never knew we were going to play, all right? Mm-hmm. Probably week 6 or 7, when I take a look at them on the field, it jumps off the screen. I don't care if they had on whatever team they had on. These players who have ever been coached, when you see them play, it jumps off the screen that they're aggressive. I don't care who you are. Aggressive football is always going to show its face, right? Scary football is always going to show its face. And if I'm being honest, I'm saying I'm going with the aggressors. And I said this during the middle of the season. I said, Georgia's the team to beat. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's not an issue because we weren't looking like we were going to play them, right? Now it's time to play them. Now it's time to say, like, yo, like, I was on a sports show earlier today, and they said, you remember when you said that about Georgia? I said, absolutely. I just didn't think we were going to play them. You know what I'm saying? So now it's like, hey, Ryan Day, you know, these comments that, Harbaugh made about you, you know, you walking around at these coaching conferences and he say, man, you was born on third base and act like you hit a triple. Man, let me tell you like this, and I can say this, like, very clear. I can go coach and go win 11 games at Ohio State, right, against your regular season people. Mm-hmm. They can go pay any Joe Blow. When you a premier coach and you make $6-8 million, bro, they pay you to beat Kirby Smart. They pay you to beat Nick Saban. They pay you to beat brother down in Clemson. I forget his name. I don't know why I drove it.
Dabo Sweeney.
You know what
I'm talking about, right? Because the crew.
Dabo Sweeney, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So you can't talk about you don't have the resources. You can't talk about you don't have the facilities. You can't talk about you don't have the personnel. These people pay you to win those games. They don't pay you to win against Rutgers, bro. And it's no offense to Rutgers. You feel where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. And so if we can't have honest conversations about what we expect from people, then the program will never go anywhere, right? And it's a hard decision because, like, the thing I hate is that, like, you become demonized if you challenge somebody on a position that they take. So if you call yourself the king, if you call yourself the Ohio State University, I went there, somebody wants to challenge that, right? Just like everybody mm-hmm. wants to challenge Nick Saban whenever they get in front mm-hmm. of Alabama. And Kirby Smart is about to be the same.
They did the same thing. They did the same thing to Kirby a few years ago. He was winning hella games, you know, but he lost the national championship, lost the SEC. Then he was one in, I don't know, whatever, in SEC championships until last Saturday. And mm-hmm. people was like, hey, it's the year now. Like, I was hearing the rumors. They're like, hey, you gotta knuckle up.
Like, they can go get me.
And he is he's homegrown. You know, I played with
him. Oh, you from there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I played with him for one year. He's about 4 years older than me. But I played with him 1 year. And, you know, so he's down home. And they was like, hey, we need to see something. So I get it. And he was like, so I already know. I kind of look at Ohio, the area, as like they have the same mentality football-wise. You can tell me if I'm right or wrong, as it is kind of like down south. You said it's a little different, but I think Ohio plays a different brand of football than everybody else up north. You know what I mean? So I know what they want. You know what I mean?
Hold on, but the kids aren't from here. So here we go.
Okay.
No offense, right? You. So let me tell you this. I went to Ohio State. I can tell you some of the reason that, like, when Jim Tressel said he was coming to Ohio State, I came to Ohio State because I had pride in him, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember going out to – I went out to – where it was? I went somewhere and I seen Vince Young, right? And you know how Texas dudes feel about high school football in Texas. They think it's like the greatest thing on earth, right? And I just remember dudes having so much pride where they were from. Like, you know, like it's like this. I like when Georgia dudes represent Georgia and they represent mm-hmm. Georgia. Like, I'm from Ohio. I got pride in Ohio. So if I'm fighting for a state or fighting for a brand, I'm fighting a little bit different. You feel where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. And it's the same difference with these kids who come here. These aren't Ohio kids. If you go look on our roster, you ain't got no Ohio kids. So this is what I'm talking about. You got the pick of the litter. Right? So just put like this, two guys from our defensive backfield from Arizona, bro. No offense to Arizona, but Arizona football ain't Ohio State football. You feel where I'm coming from? And yeah, so it would be the same difference that if you take me out to Arizona, there's no pride, there's no connection, there's no my homeboys in the crowd, I got to go home. You know what I'm saying? It's just – and I'm not saying that drives a bunch, but you don't think Georgia going to roll over to Atlanta and when they come in that stadium at the Peach Bowl, you don't think it's going to be all Georgia folks in there? You don't think them kids going to feel that? You don't think them kids going to be – like, you from coming from?
And it's different when you're there. When you're from there,
like Ohio State. Yeah, come on, man. All this is sport. This is psychological. This is mental. All this stuff plays a factor into you competing against people. All this stuff do. But when you ascend to a point, you ascend to a point inside of your program. Now you got to pick it a litter. You could just say, okay, this is a 5-star kid out in Arizona. Let me pick him and let me pick his brother or this guy's in Texas. You don't have to recruit that hard, bro, because the brand recruits itself. This is what I'm saying, what can happen to Georgia. Georgia's swinging up, but Georgia may have had two or three recruiting classes that probably weren't top 10 or top 5, right? So you're coaching guys to be better. You're getting guys to be better with a different mentality. As Georgia starts to win, these kids who win 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, as they come up, they're only going to know a winning program. And if you win, you can just pick them, right? You don't have to go recruit and coach these small-time guys. And so it turns your program into something different. That's just my opinion. I live in Columbus. Yeah, I live in Columbus. And, you know, I don't know. It's just a different fight when you haven't had something in comparison to when you have something and – you just don't have the same gratitude or you don't feel like you're defending something that you worked hard for. I think that's probably a cleaner way of saying it.
Well, you know what? I hate going back to 2002, but I got to, because you just brought up something in terms of, you know, people fighting for something. And you can tell, again, back in 2002 when you guys had won that natty, that you guys were collectively fighting for something, and big-time players make big-time plays. You made a huge play, obviously, on the strip of Sean Taylor and then, you know, the touchdown in overtime. Who does Ohio State really have that you would pinpoint, you know what, he's a big-time player. He's going to show up in a big-time way, and he can make big-time plays that hurt Georgia?
Harrison Jr. Yeah, I don't know if you paid attention to him, man. You know, receivers, my thing is being able to track a football. I don't think you just go watch film on him. I'm talking about, I've never seen a kid, you know, a kid 19 years old, 20 years old. Mm-hmm. His boy tracks the football, catches football, hand placement, ball placement, stretching out for stuff. He is phenomenal. To me, he's the best receiver in the country right now as a sophomore, right? I think about Larry Fitzgerald when I think of him, just somebody who's ahead of their time, somebody who's a technician, somebody who's playing at a professional level in college and is doing it like with ease. And so he's a guy who could roll coverage. You feel where I'm coming from? He can dictate a lot of coverage, which with like, so here's how I go. If he can dictate coverage, then you might have your backside receivers or your tight end. Our tight end is starting to catch on in the middle of the season. Kid from Mansfield. These guys can be more active, right? So they'll get the one-on-one coverage. They'll get the third DB, or they'll get a linebacker on side of the receiver, depending on the sets, depending on down and distance and who's running off and on the field. But that stuff, that's what I think that he brings. I don't think Georgia, by any stretch of the imagination, is going to sleep on him. You know, because he's a huge player. And but what hurts us right now is that all of our running backs are hurt. You know, so you have running backs who will just be coming off injury, two of them. And if they're coming off injury, I just know how it is, man. You're just not yourself. And if Georgia come in and start tapping them, some guys can tap out. You know, they got to know.
He's definitely one we got to look at.
Well, you know, one of the other guys we were talking about was C.J. Stroud. You know, he said he came back with the aspirations to beat Michigan. I mean, that's huge. I actually, outside of living, growing up in Pittsburgh, I spent a year in Columbus, so I know what that rivalry is like. I mean, it just magnifies the entire city when it comes down to Michigan. It's Michigan. You know, everybody hates Michigan. Everybody hates Ohio State if you're from Michigan. With C.J. Stroud, What are your thoughts on him? And I must say this from a two-part question, because most Ohio State quarterbacks, if you look at it, there has not been a successful pro Ohio State quarterback in a long time. And hopefully Justin Fields can make that change. Hopefully C.J. Stroud can make that change. But what are your thoughts on Stroud and his overall capabilities of maybe going into the NFL and playing well there?
Oh, well, obviously, I can only go off of what I see. I think he plays well and throws well at the collegiate level. One thing is that he doesn't depend on his legs. He throws a great football. I would like for him to run more and be of a more dynamic threat with that. But from an NFL standpoint, man, you know, a lot of this, and I'm just not sure if people understand this, the system that you're in dictate a lot. No difference the styles make fights for boxers. The system that a quarterback lands himself in the NFL, this is not to make excuses for any of these kids, but it becomes a different style of football and a lot of these kids just may not be able to adjust to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it goes back to this, like if you look at the NFL is filled with SEC players, right? And the NFL is just an extension of SEC football to me. That's just my opinion. And you grab different quarterbacks from all conferences and they end up managing those systems. And so I don't want to say the game becomes faster for guys, but it's definitely a different style that kids who played at Ohio State don't translate well to the NFL who have come out of there, right? And that's not to – you just can't say – but like this, it matters who coaches you, who prepares you, and when you move forward, what happens. And so you see Justin Fields having some success over in Chicago. But let's hope that, you know, the same thing happens with C.J. Stroud and, you know, he's had the appropriate coaching and, you know, it translates well.
Yep, he's definitely a good one now. We gotta tap on him a little bit.
just a little bit. Just a little bit.
You know, don't want him to get hurt or nothing, but we gotta make him feel us.
Now, piggybacking on that C.J. Stroud thing, I mean, right now, Reese, we're in the middle of an NIL era. I mean, my man, it's been documented what kind of cars he drives in and everything else. What would life have been like when you were playing with NIL? I mean, do you think it would have just transitioned your entire life? And how would you have dealt with it with everything that's going on now? I mean, it's magnified. It's unreal, quite honestly.
No, I mean, I would have never been kicked out of school. You know, at the end of the day, core of it, like forget all the distractions. But I wasn't a distraction. I was a gym rat. You know what I'm saying? I was a gym rat. I stayed in the gym. I lifted weights. I played football. I minded my business. And I was just like, I was somebody who enjoyed the game of football, right? And my transmission had went in my car, and I couldn't pay, you know, the $1,800 that they wanted. And then the start of getting cars, and then, you know, I got paid like $250 to go to a birthday party or just minuscule stuff that I got suspended for that becomes laughable. And, that, you know, that's what happened, you know, and I would have never been put in that situation. But you know, the system was what it was and it is what it is. But I'll tell you like this, like a lot of times, you know, we'll say, man, you know, you'll hope that you see something change in your lifetime. I would have never thought 20 years ago you would be able to see these kids be able to take care of themselves, because at the end of the day, I don't care if you go to Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, a lot of stuff comes from just young dudes who have dreams, who try to make it in life, right? Everybody lands at a different school. Everybody has a different path. I went to Ohio State to try to make something of myself, and Ohio State didn't do me wrong. Just the NCAA rules were what they were, and they got broke. And then after that, Ohio State had to take a position whether, you know, are we going to pursue a second championship and continue to make this money, or are we going to align ourselves with him? And I get it. Like, I'm 39 now. I can get how this happens. You know, the kids become, you know, dispensable. But, you know, I would have been, you know, I'd have made myself some money. My mother would have made some money. I think we would have went on and I'd have played a couple more years and got drafted, you know, probably in the first round somewhere. And I would have continued to play football. But, you know, I just look back at it now and, you know, like I used to get depressed from like saying, what if, what coulda, shoulda, woulda, right? That stuff, like, you know, if you're a kid, it's hard to process that, you know what I'm saying? And it's hard to say like, hey, man, George, I'm having a hard time processing this, because, you know, you're supposed to be this big, strong football player. And when you can't process it, when it confuses you, when, like, you start to resent and regret where you're at in life, like, you know, you become self-destructive and your mind messed up and just your whole future's messed up. And so you can trace it back to just, you know, had I had some money to take care of myself and had I had somebody to fix a car or have a car, you know, things would have probably ended up different. But, you know, you look at it, I'm not mad. You know what I'm saying? I've lived enough life and had enough experience to understand that the old saying that that which doesn't kill you make you stronger, right? And I've and George, you know, George seen me. You know, George seen me when I came to Denver. George seen me when I came to Omaha and out of prison, and he's seeing me now. And all of that stuff helps you in the end. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
All of that stuff.
You're one of the most. We're one of the people in this earth that I'm most proud of. You know what I mean? Like, I honestly, you know, I've told you that before. It's just to see, like, a lot of people don't, they don't get to turn it around, man. They just don't get to. They don't have the fortitude to turn it around. And you did all of that, man. You had to go, you went away, you know, in the prison system, and then you had to get out and get it out of the mud. You know what I mean? If anybody should listen to you, is some of these kids, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, you didn't have the resources back then that a lot of these kids got. I was, you know, I went to the, I think it was the Georgia Tech game at Georgia, and I met one of the, you know, support staff that he's a psychologist, and he works with the team, but he's not the only one. You know what I mean? They have several, and they work in the sports. They work in the sports at Georgia. They do all the sports, but it's a whole team of psychologists. We didn't have that when we was coming up. You know what I mean? Like, he has a caseload. He said he has about, it was a crazy number, put it like that. And like, and that's all he do. He sees kids, and you know, it's if kids could have had that. I can think of a number of guys, you know what I mean, in the space of, you know, college football that we saw, you know, yourself, like a Ricky Williams, guys that dealt with anxiety and all that stuff, and they're able to get help now, and, you know, it comes with the scholarship, you know what I mean, and we didn't have that back in the day, so, like, you know, it's good
that
that now.
It's a dangerous mix to have a kid who's full of testosterone to a kid who's just aggressive, you know, because football is nothing more of a dude. Like, you just condition yourself to be crazy. Rev up for 4 seconds, rev down, rev up, rev down. Yep. And you just ask yourself, what did that do to you over a period of time?
No question.
Right? We can have all these sports performance studies, right? But what do y'all take y'all kids and for 2-3 hours out the day, for about 10 years, just have them rev up and go crazy and be down, and rev up and be down, and rev up and be down. Mm-hmm. I think just somewhere psychologically, you know, it has a negative impact in some regards when you're not using that revved up mentality to go execute on the football field. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you deal with all that, and, you know, they don't want to have that study because that may bring more issues to have more guys not participate in sport, but I mean, you get it, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so going through all that stuff and going through all that nonsense, is what, you know, getting through all that. So I would say I got distracted, but yeah. Oh, they ready to go. Oh, so we get kicked out. So
I don't know if she remember. I don't know if she remember me. But hello.
She remember you. She remember you.
It's false. It's George.
Oh, see, so she remember. Look, so she said when he got picked up, you see he left the stuff at the house. So look, even my lady.
Wow.
Look, you see, she look, so she remember. Hey. We was back at that time. We ain't had no money, man.
Hey, man.
We appreciate it.
So how can I ever
go against dogs if my main dog put me in the game with some groceries or some detergent?
Hey, no, man, I want you to though, man. Listen, man, when you winning all these games, man, your usual rivals, man, they get real quiet and it's not fun. Like, I can't talk, like my Florida friends, like they don't want to talk no trash. Like, it's just it's like, it's not fun anymore. Like, I be trying to get in the chats. You know what I'm saying? Nobody want to say nothing to the Bulldogs. You know, like, come on, man. Talk some trash back to me because I talk it regardless.
Hey, listen to me. Win, lose, or draw, I'm going to run my mouth on that internet, and I'm going to have fun with the fans. And for life in general, I'm happy. You know, let me tell you this. At the end of the day, these kids are doing the same thing we did, right? These kids trying to be somebody. They're trying to make a name. They're trying to make some money. They done put all that sweat, tears, and grunge into these classrooms, into those football fields. And that's it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That is literally it.
Yeah, well, Reese, before we let you go, I got to give these shout-outs. You know, 2002 USA Army All-American, you know, Offensive Player of the Year, USA Today Offensive Player of the Year, Big Ten Freshman of the Year. You know what? But besides all that, man, you've made just a tremendous impact on young people's lives. Heck, I was even listening to The Pivot, and Wallow was talking about how you changed his life in terms of the podcast game and when he got out of prison and changing his life around. So it's very impactful for me. And especially, again, since I lived in Pittsburgh, I knew who Maurice Claret was. I knew who he was before he stepped on Ohio State's campus and lit up college football. So, but you're doing so much more now. Why don't you tell the fans and the listeners exactly what you're up to? That way, if they need extra additional resources and a guy they can get it from who's done it, they can get it from you.
Yeah, no, so I just do, I don't want to say a handful of things, but I do, well, people may see me going around and speaking, but some of the things I do personally is that I go around, this is just an extension of that thing that they had on ESPN, I buy medical practices. So we have a group of us in Ohio who we buy, we have the most podiatric practices in the state. We have about 42 right now, and we have a few surgery centers. I invest into real estate, affordable housing, new market developments, 9% deals or 4% deals for those people who understand the affordable housing space. And I run a mental health and drug and alcohol clinic. And so for people who have mental health issues, people who are just need help governing their lives a little bit better, or people who are kids, adolescents who just need help from an adolescent space, we have a program called the Red Zone in Youngstown where we work with adolescent and youth, about 500 kids on a daily basis, and about 60 adults we house and do therapeutic interventions with. So that's what I do. Most of the time you'll see me trolling on the internet, or I'm up early in the morning reading or doing something productive.
Just working out. You still beasting workouts.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that 4:30 at 5 o'clock on that watch.
So I get up in the morning. I enjoy that. For anybody who, if you may be looking for a workout routine, I call it the Champ Program. So it's thechampprogram.com where I just put all my workouts up. And if a person chooses to follow, they can go follow and figure something out for themselves. And if not, they just want to see me troll on the internet, I'll be there for free.
Well, you know what? We're going to hit you back up. We can't do it yet because there's 4 weeks left until game time. So we're going to hit you back up for your official prediction, because we don't let anybody get off the air without their prediction of the game, unless you want to give it now. You can give it now.
No, I don't want to give it now because that'll give me a reason to come back. I'm gonna get a reason to come back and give our predictions. So I'm about to go in here because my lady got the baby. Like, so we got two little ones. So if you ever had two little ones, that is an event, yes, sir, right? I got two boys too. So if something bad happened now, just wait, Georgia. We gonna get back with you when these jokes get bigger. You know what I'm saying? Nah, but I'm gonna go ahead and help her with these. But I want to come back home, man, just to hang out, kick it with y'all, and
appreciate it, man.
Yep, anytime, anytime, Reese. We appreciate you. Be safe out there.
All right, Reese.
Good time. All right, Foss. Yeah, that was a big time interview with a big time guy. You know, Maurice is doing great, great things. For those who don't know, for those who don't follow him, I had to ask that question because, again, you know, that sparked a little fire in Dog Nation. You know what I mean? His little comment, people were like, yo. So hopefully, you know, the fans are a little bit toned down now about what he said. But, you know, we got to get him back on. There's no doubt about it. We got a few weeks.
We got to get that good prediction.
Yes, sir. question, because I wanted to really hit him up on this one, didn't really get a chance to. But what are your thoughts with this portal? Because to me, this is insane, man. I mean,
crazy.
3,000. There was 3,000 back in 2000. I think it's back in 2020 because of COVID and all that kind of. Yeah, out of all the divisions, you know, all the levels of college football. But there's up to over 1,000 in the portal. 1,000, Foss. Now, and it ain't just dudes that are just like, okay, mid-level, went to a school, not really getting my shot. There's some big-time players from some big-time programs that have said, I'm out. I'm going to go switch it up. You know, obviously, Texas A&M, dang near lost most of their recruiting class. It's nuts. What are your thoughts on this portal, man?
Well, that's the problem. It's a lot of talent in there. And if you're not super talented and not a head case off the field, you're going to have a trouble finding the spot. I mean? That's like, man, and that's the thing I worry about with these kids, man. And I hope, the majority of them find a spot to land so they can continue playing and continue their college careers playing football. It's a wonderful game. I just hope they're all making the right decisions, man, because it's easy to make knee-jerk decisions as a college athlete. I've seen it happen. I've seen guys transfer. This is way long before the portal. This is years, 20, 30 years ago. Is, you can get lost out there and never really touch the field, never really, that is – it's a tough spot to be in. I just hope these guys are making the right decisions. I hope they have, I hope they have some insight before they even put their names in there. What I mean? Hopefully, if it doesn't, if they get a chance, some schools will let them come back. We've had a few ourselves. Bill was, considering leaving, a while back. He came back and helped us out tremendously. Mim stuck his toe in there, this past off season. And, we got him back in the fold, which turns out to be great. He can take over for next year just in case, Broderick wants to leave. Broderick's rated highly across the board as far as tackles go. Hopefully these kids can get that lucky, to find out either to stay home or somebody pick them up elsewhere. But, 1,000 kids is a lot.
Man, to me, it's insane, Foss. I mean, we ain't talking about marginal players either. I mean, we have May from North Carolina who was thinking about, jumping in the portal. Obviously, he decided to go back to North Carolina. But you're talking about quarterbacks, skill players. I mean, Ra-Ra Thomas, who's out there from Mississippi State. Cephas, who we played against at Kent State, is out there. Another wide receiver. There's big time players that can make big time plays.
Both of those guys.
Yeah, we definitely. I mean, and I think
so there's some talent out there if we offer them,
right?
You know what I mean? Because we didn't take anybody last year.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's some really, you got to be special to play for Georgia now. It's a top tier roster, and we have to see supreme value in you to offer you a spot on this roster.
See, that's what I was going to bring up, because I know last year we didn't take anybody. We had some people test the water, like you said, it came back. But what type of position do you think that Georgia could really elevate itself? Because we talked about it last week. We think this is the type of team that even if they won the Natty this year, or when they win the Natty this year, they could actually win another one next year. What type of position do you think that Kirby, who hasn't been very receptive of the portal, where he would probably elevate a position? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's probably going to end up being a position where there's a lot of young guys. Mm-hmm. They might be talented, but young, what I mean? So it's kind of like having all those having all those young guys on in the defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. So we bring in a guy like Tyke. We bring in a guy like Kendrick last year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we're so young. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think we're young at receiver. You know what I mean? That's why, you know, I feel like they've offered, you know, the kid Cephas and Ra-Ra. You know what I mean? Because
they kind of remind you of some dogs too, boy. I mean, some guys that, like, not just older, but aggressive. That guy with that little edge to him. Because I don't think we had that at wide receiver right now.
Yeah.
In terms of that edge.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think our guys play with some edge, some swagger. You know, mm-hmm. they're just not the most physically gifted guys outside of AD. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, you know, those some well put together cats in Cephas and Ra-Ra.
Yeah. Ra-Ra Thomas.
That they could help out, you know, in that group, you know, being like they've had some experience on the field and been go-to guys at their previous schools. Places like that, I have to look at the, you know, the linemen or whatever, but you gotta have that pedigree, man, to play in the trenches, you know, at Georgia now. So, but I figure like a lot of the skill positions, you know, we might consider, you know, mm-hmm. jumping in the portal for.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think it's one of those things where you have to elevate a position room and you definitely got to be somebody that's going to be impactful. You know, and I come from an angle too, where you got some guys in that room that are waiting for their shot. And so mm-hmm. you got to make sure it's a very fine line between bringing somebody in from outside that hasn't grinded and hasn't worked with you over the last few years to them coming into that room and one, really being accepted, two, the other guys around the room accepting them and allowing themselves to continue to work together and grind together and hopefully not leave themselves, because that's going to happen too. I mean, you can have some guys that are disgruntled and want to take their, you know, take their lunch pail and leave and go somewhere else as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But more so, I just feel bad for this portal, man. I feel bad for some of these guys who are going to end up in bad situations. I know we hate to bring it up and we really never really truly touched upon it, but even guys like a Jermaine Burton, you know, he thought the grass was greener on the other side, goes to Alabama. They don't have the year that they thought they were going to have. He doesn't have the numbers that he thought he was going to have. Hopefully, and I believe he's still a dynamic player. He's going to have a good career, but you know, it's not always greener on the other side. So going back to your original point, man, I think some of these guys really need to look at their situations, even in terms of coaching changes. You know, you can step up and be that guy that can help lead a program with a new coach coming in, as long as your mindset is the right way. But just to jump ship like some of these boys are jumping, it's crazy, man. That's a lot of guys, along with incoming freshmen. You know, so you still got incoming freshmen, recruiting classes. You could be left out there in the portal in no man's land.
Yeah.
If you're not smart. Look at JT Daniels. I mean,
man, he finna hit the portal again. The portal time is seeing him.
Yeah. He's just his nickname is Portal. You know what I mean?
The portal don't want to see him no more.
Yeah, man. But before we get up out of here, I mean, it's been a good show. We did have a recruit that committed. We're talking about class of 25, though, so I know we get a few years out, but it's a big deal because Georgia has not really recruited Buford really well, and this is a big-time name, Jaden Perlow. Right now, he's a five-star, listed as a four-star/five-star, all everything, linebacker, safety, athlete, whatever you want to put him at. But it's a big deal because I think Kirby and his staff has done a big-time job of really building a relationship in that area. A lot of big-time athletes have come out of it. And I think that one of the things that people really looked at was there is a special running back there too who I guess liked, retweeted his commitment. And we talk about Justice Haynes. So it's going to be interesting to see as we get closer to signing day, early signing period, whether he flips and whether he switches. But
I think he stays. I wish he would come to Georgia, man. You know, being a legacy kid. But hey, he's got to go forge his own path. Yeah. I think he'd be with a better team at Georgia. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he sees, you know, it's a stacked backfield. You know what I mean? I don't know if he want part of that or not, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the kid can tote that tater, I tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he stays. There's a lot of speculation that he's going to flip, but I think he stays. And for him, like you just mentioned, it's a stacked backfield. It might be a better situation. It might be a certain style, scheme, everything. You know, a lot of people put a lot of thought into what some of these kids' decisions are, and everybody's got a decision as to why they make it, even though you might be looking at your respective team saying, look, man, you can come to Georgia and be an all-everything wide receiver. Well, the guy's looking at it saying, look, I can go to Ohio State and be an all-everything wide receiver, and those dudes are putting up 1,000 apiece at the receiving spot. It's tomato, tomato, whatever your liking may be. So I wish him the best. Hopefully we can get him to switch up, flip up, switching them dogs, but we'll see what happens come December 21st.
We got him Pimba from the last time.
Yes, sir. That's right. I'm sorry.
Since the last time we talked too.
There you go. Samuel Mpemba. Yes, sir. That's
a good look.
Yes. Defensive end / edge linebacker. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him because he does have the big body. He's got the college body already. I think what they want to do is create a little bit more flexibility with him. I think sometimes he plays a little bit stiff, but it's going to be interesting too because sometimes you can't tell, especially at IMG, how good a guy really is. Like, Nolan was the number one player in the country, and you really could not tell he was the number one player in the country because they had so many daggone players on that squad. It's the same thing with IMG. They got so many studs. I'm interested to see how he translates to Georgia and plays that edge, plays that defensive end spot, plays that Mikael Williams spot. It's going to be interesting. But that's another big-time get, 5-star for the Dawgs in this 2022 class. So I was remiss to say that. But hey, man, it's been another good one. It's always good seeing you, brother, and hanging out. We got a few weeks before we get into New Year's Eve.
For sure.
For sure. We'll be right here.
Got coming up next, see if we can cook up a few more guests. You know what I mean? Maybe along a different genre. But yeah, we'll see, man. But, yeah, you know, 100% for it.
Let's do it.
As always,
go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dawgs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.